Hello, everybody, and welcome to a bit of a special edition Cyclone Fanatic Channel Seed podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. I want to remind you to visit our good friends at Channel.com for all your seedsmanship needs. You know, graduation time at Iowa State, I'm sure a lot of future farmers of America out there tuning into today's podcast. So give our guys at Channel a shout-out at Seedsmanship at Work. They're proud supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, Channel.com. Check them out today. Going to bring in a ringer as we had breaking news today. Brent Bloom joins me on the podcast. Brent, it's been a while. It has been a while since you've made it here to the home office.
I haven't been at the home office to do a podcast for over a year.
For real?
Yes.
Did you actually went and looked that up?
I did, because I was like, gosh, it's been a while since I headed to the CF home office and saw Corey McIntosh and Mike Taylor stare at me from one of your posters.
You need to explain that, because you got to keep this as an audio format. Most people do not understand what you're talking about.
Chris Williams has a Cyclone Nation, the former Cyclone Nation, the scout site back in the day, which you ran and I contributed on. And one of your first magazine covers featured Corey McIntosh and Mike Taylor in the headline, as I'm looking at it, Men at Work. the irony there is not lost.
Well, Mike Taylor did.
He put in work. Yeah. He put in work. But so that you've got that autograph by those two gentlemen. The one autograph probably gets significantly more than the other. And I think we can make the difference there. But yeah, it's great to be back. And unfortunately, not the greatest of news as we lose our good buddy TJ.
Yes.
But I think it's a situation that's an evil necessity in college basketball, and I'm happy for TJ and happy to be here.
Move on to TJ in a moment. Mike Taylor, you know, this is fresh on the mind. You know, it's baseball season.
Right.
He's like Mike Taylor's career at Iowa State is like the 2013 Atlanta Braves. Either hit a home run or you strike out. I mean, Taylor, how many of those like 37 and 13 turnover games did he
had have? He had perhaps the best two-game stretch in Iowa State history. It was the second half against Minnesota, and the first half against, it was like Grand Valley State. Okay, we're talking November 2006.
Yeah.
He went on the second half of the Minnesota game, the first half of the next game, and I remember writing a column about it. He put up like 48 points on an obscene amount of shooting. He made 14 threes between the two halves and also had like 12 turnovers. But
outstanding.
Mike Taylor was the college basketball version of a pixie stick, just nonstop energy. I miss him. You know, if they have him back for his senior year, remember he had the trouble with the
NyQuil or something like that.
Yeah, he stole something from a quick shop. That whole situation with McDermott might have been differently.
Maybe.
Because you get him for another year, you team him up with a freshman bracket.
Isn't that the
Brackens
story of the McDermott era?
It is. You know, there's so many what-ifs.
With Wes Johnson, Brackens. I mean, there's a lot of what-ifs.
He brought in players.
Luca.
And I guess that's TJ who brought in the players. But what a crazy guy to watch, Mike Taylor. And I think he's now kicking around in Croatia somewhere.
I think, is he really?
Or he's in D-League.
What's Corey McIntosh up to? Is he still playing ball?
I would guess he's doing accounting.
Okay, so if you liked Mike Taylor, I think this KJ Bluford's got a little Mike Taylor to him. I don't think he's that good, but I think you're going to look at this guy shoot and you're going to go, how in the hell did he not get recruited by anybody else? But then you're going to look at the rest of his game and be like, that's probably why. But it's Hoiberg. Guys like that are very much a necessity in Hoiberg's system.
I actually went and watched, who is he, Western Nebraska or Nebraska?
Northeast Community College, something like that.
I found one of their games on their website, which looks like it was built on like the GeoCities sites in the 90s, and this streaming video was buffering left and right. But I caught like a couple minutes of KJ Bluford, and he's a lot like Mike Taylor. That's a great comparison. Very energetic guy.
Looks like him.
Just comes
on
in,
the floor.
Starts jacking up threes whenever he gets in there. He's not going to be afraid to shoot.
The thing about him, too, is he didn't have anybody on his team this year. His team was terrible. And it really was. There's no other Division I prospects. It was bad. And he's getting face guarded by everybody, double teamed every single night out there. I just feel like Hoiberg can do something with him. I don't know. I'm not promising he's going to be all Big 12. But I think there's probably more upside with that guy than people realize.
Well, and you need him to do one thing, and that's shoot.
Yeah.
It's not a hard position to come in and fill. I know I love Tyrus McGee, but Tyrus did one thing, and he did it really well.
Yeah.
He's not going to be Tyrus. He's not going to shoot.
No.
He's not going to lead the nation in three-point shooting, which Tyrus eventually did. But he'll come in and fill a role. I don't think he's going to start, but he'll come in off the bench, make some jump shots, and he's going to be an entertaining guy. And I guess that's a role that will need to be filled. But Iowa State will lean heavily on the front court.
So TJ Otzelberger announces that he's going to leave today, and we're talking about Corey McIntosh, Mike Taylor, and KJ Bluford to open the first 5 minutes of today's Channel C
TJ
podcast.
TJ recruited. Mike Taylor was the first recruit to Iowa State under McDermott and thus TJ. In fact, he brought him with from Chipola.
That was a hell of a class if you consider what they were working with at the time. Wes Johnson. I mean, that's two NBA guys right there.
Dodie Dunson was in that class.
Dodie Dunson, and he actually probably would have had a decent career had he...
And he did at Bradley.
Yeah, he
played okay.
Some injury. He wouldn't have been bad.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you factor in some of the other guys who were playing at that time. The Aluska kid.
Right.
Guy Brian Peterson, big fan of him. Walk-ons, we're talking about at this point.
But to transition the conversation, this Iowa State program is in a significantly different spot today than it was back in 06 when TJ first started.
Isn't it wild, and I'll let you finish your point, isn't it wild though, because we remember back to those days, remember where we were or what we were doing, and fanatics, if you're listening to the podcast, I would encourage you to do the same. Think back to where you were in your life, what you were doing when Greg McDermott was hired at Iowa State, when TJ Otzelberger came on board, and I'm thinking, man, he's been here a long time.
Whew. Almost unheard of.
For an assistant. I was talking to a friend today, an assistant staying somewhere for 7 years in this game is like a head coach staying somewhere for 20.
Well, at his age especially. Now you'll get some of those long-timers who they'd have no ambition to go anywhere.
Yeah, but they're just happy.
It's amazing that they actually hired TJ when he's what, 35 now?
He's 28.
He was 28 when they got him, and he went in and did a great job immediately, and that's why a guy like Matt Abdelmassi is 28 as we speak. So it's been done before by TJ, and I think it fits all parties. They don't need a guy now like TJ was back when he first started, because they have a Matt, they have a Cornell, who are also pretty good recruiters, and Iowa State's in a different position with Fred in 2013 than they were when McDermott came here in 06. Nobody knew who Iowa State was, really. I mean, they're coming through. Nobody knew who Greg McDermott was in the grand scheme of things.
There were questions with the NCAA and Wayne Morgan.
But now you've got Fred Hoiberg, who he is one of the hotter names in college basketball. And people know who Fred is when he walks into a gym. So Fred will be able to shoulder a lot of the recruiting load. And so it's important for him to then get a basketball coach.
Don't you feel like, too, that college basketball is such a coach's game because they're the only thing that's constant? You know, because there's constantly guys going pro. The stars are one and done, generally. There aren't many Doug McDermotts of the world nowadays who stick around for four seasons. The coaches are the stars. And I just feel like Hoiberg is more of the realm of the, and don't take this the wrong way, the John Calipari's of the world. Do you ever hear much about John Calipari's assistants?
None. No.
And I can tell you by the way that George Niang was recruited. I think Otzelberger was the first to see him. Hoiberg sealed the deal. Matt Thomas. I know that Otzelberger was the first to see him. Hoiberg sealed the deal. There is a trend here, and I think that Fred is really, he's a bit of a superstar as it is, but I think he's going to develop that as a recruiter as well here over the next few years, which is why, I think that the elephant in the room is Doc Sadler. And
absolutely.
I think it'd be a phenomenal hire from the sense of you bring another former head coach who not only is that, but a man who has a vast amount of experience in the Big 12. Been in the Big 12 since the year 2006. This is a guy who knows the league, who's close with Hoiberg. I already know that for a fact. And I feel like, you're right. I feel like Fred can do a lot of this work on the recruiting trail as long as these guys can get him in the door. And once he's in the door, he's a tough coach to beat out. Doc's got a ton of ties in Texas. most importantly, is a defensive mind, which would bring a lot to this coaching staff. I don't know, Brent. I mean, I feel like you're right. You're onto something about this Hoiberg thing.
Well, and anymore, I've never recruited in my life. I just follow it like you do, in a sense. But a lot of the recruiting is now done at these summer AAU tournaments, mm-hmm. where that's where you initially see the guys.
Yeah.
And coaches like Fred, right now it's an active recruiting period. I don't know the dates for sure. But they can go to a dozen tournaments in the summer and see a bunch of kids. You don't need all these inroads anymore that, you know, this guy here. Now, you'll find a diamond in the rough occasionally. Relationships are important, but a kid who's 16, 17 years old is playing for the head coach. He knows that, and Fred's the one who has to deliver them in the end. So, yes, you do need the guys to get on, to knock on the doors, and Matt and Cornell, I think, are good at that. But it's ultimately up to Fred to close the deal, and it's up to any of those big-name coaches to close the deal. They're not signing. I know TJ brought in a lot of guys,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately they're signing with Fred. And I think Fred is able to connect with these kids. He's got that younger age demographic thing going for him. And so a coach like Doc Sadler fits the mold exactly what they need, because you need a guy who can scout. I mean, it's one thing to get the players here, and everyone talks about TJ's recruiting, but you also have to win games when they do get here.
Mm-hmm.
And game planning, scouting,
who did development. Every scouting report game plan last year for that program.
You need to replace that.
Yeah.
And Fred's an offensive guru, but if Doc can bring an expertise, some seasoned guy who's been through a lot of things, and maybe add a defensive flair to this team, it could be a pretty good mix, and I think he would fit in perfectly for what they're trying to build, and it would mesh with the type of guy he is. He's been in the Big 12, like you said. He's a down-to-earth, cool guy. Everyone likes Doc. The Nebraska people liked him. They didn't like it necessarily. It was almost impossible to win there.
You can't win there.
So
10 miles career might as well be over.
I don't know what he was doing.
This is a terrible career. I don't know who his agent is.
I know they're building a new arena over there.
I don't care. Their fans are Creighton fans. They don't care.
By all accounts, Doc is an excellent coach, a good dude who will fit in well in Ames if he's the guy, and I think he will be an excellent addition to the staff and fill a role that they need.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like, and I remember back, do you remember back when we were recording these podcasts up in my apartment in Ames? I mean, there were two guys, or three guys really in the league that I really were fond of. Pat Knight was one of them. Pat was my boy. Which, that'd be sweet if he could get this job. Isn't he still at Lamar?
He is.
Yeah, so he's not going to leave a head coaching job. Tad Boyle was, I mean, that to me, like, if Hoiberg's ever gone, that's the guy I'm after. That's my boy, is Tad Boyle over at Colorado.
Never understood that one.
Why? How do you, if you can do what he's doing at Colorado, you can be great at Iowa State.
He's a fine coach, but you latched on to the Boyle bandwagon before he even coached a game.
Brent, was I right?
You must have really been impressed by his skills at Northern Colorado.
All I need to do here is, Chris, you were right about Tad Boyle. Was I wrong? How was I wrong? Everything I said came true.
It did.
They're filling that arena. The morgue, Brent. The morgue. They're getting like 12,000 people a game there.
It's one of the more impressive turnarounds of a college basketball program, actually. It's very underrated. And they return a bunch from this year's team.
Yeah.
They're going to be even better next year.
Yeah. An impressive turnaround even after they got jobbed 3 years ago. The biggest screw job in the NCAA tournament selection history.
Well, they go, what'd they go? 10-6 or 12 and, what was it? It was 10 and 6
in the league. They won two games in Kansas City.
And they still didn't go to the
dance. It was unbelievable. That was Dan Beebe, who was on the committee, giving the proverbial finger to the entire city of Boulder, is what that was.
Now, let me throw this out, though.
Okay, let me finish my point just to not confuse the listener, because
yes.
I'm sure your point is much more insightful than what I'm going to say, and I'm not even being sarcastic there. Doc Sadler was my third guy, because having grown up where I grew up, I know how hard that Nebraska job is, and I actually think, you know what? He probably overperformed in Lincoln, which is a crazy thing. On to your point.
Well, he won 7-8 games there consistently.
Yeah.
With, you know, the chicken salad on that team. But you're
calling Alex Marich chicken salad?
He did coach him his senior year. Yeah, that's my guy Marich. no, you said your first guy you would call if Iowa had ever had an opening Ted Boy, I know you're being facetious, but this leads me to a point here.
Yeah.
Of why I think this works out well for all parties. 5 years down the road, okay, I'm throwing out a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Who knows what will happen, obviously. But Fred decides that, you know, he wants to go coach the Lakers.
Okay.
What have you.
It'd be a great move for Fred.
I'd pat him on the back, way to go, Fred.
Be very happy for him.
I think everyone in Cyclone Nation agrees that if there is somewhere he will go, it's not a college job, it's an NBA job.
I would agree
and
with
I
that.
And I hope this is 25 years down the road or never.
In today's ultimate news of his contract information, I think solidifies that.
Yes, if people missed it, his buyout to go to another college is $2 million. His buyout to go to an NBA team is $500,000. Put the pieces together, folks. But let's say he leaves, goes somewhere. I think the first call Jamie Pollard has to make now is perhaps to TJ.
I would agree.
And so that's why this move makes sense for TJ, because it adds another dimension to his resume, and it just lets him figure out another conference and pick up other things that he couldn't get here.
And what have we learned since, I would say, Dan McCartney left Ames? What have we learned when it comes to hiring coaches and winning at Iowa State in either of the two big sports? And I would throw women's basketball into the mix as well. You have to want to be here. There's something different about Iowa State and Ames. I don't know what it is exactly. I think a lot of it has to do with the fan base. I think the fan base is it's a different fan base, and I say that in a very positive way. I look at the way they support our website with our advertisers and whatnot. Iowa State fans really appreciate people who they consider to be their own, who can relate to them. And this is an assistant coach who in his late 20s and early 30s stuck around for 7 years. He gets the culture in Ames. He was able to bring Craig Brackens to Iowa State. I think Matt Thomas is going to be a household. You know what I mean? This is a guy who gets it here.
No doubt.
And I think Pollard has learned that. The Chizik thing didn't work. McDermott, that's a whole,
It ended up not working.
It ended up not working, but I also don't know if I would have ever said that Craig really embraced the Iowa State thing either. You know what I mean? I just don't think that, it just wasn't a good fit. It wasn't a good fit at all. You bring in Hoiberg, obviously this one's working, and Rhodes, the whole being from Ankeny, he understands the culture. If you're trying to replace Fred Hoiberg in 5 years, name me a guy other than maybe a Jeff Hornacek compared maybe what he's doing. I'm just thinking of anybody other than Otzelberger, and I can't think of really anybody else who would immediately come to my mind to fit that mold.
Right, and so I think the pieces add up as to why it makes sense that TJ leaves now. And I don't necessarily think it's the last we've seen of TJ. He will be a head coach someday.
Absolutely.
He reminds me a lot of Tom Herman. Two really ambitious guys who you knew just were not going to settle with being a career assistant. And Tom Herman's going to be, of course, he's the old offensive coordinator. A lot of people didn't like him, but he's now...
He'll be a head coach.
He will be a head coach in the next 5 years. I can almost guarantee it.
Absolutely.
At some place. But they're two young, ambitious guys who just would not accept being a assistant for a long period of time. So TJ will be a head coach. I think it's foolish Drake didn't take a harder look at him. But
that was crazy. I get it. You get burned by one type, and he has the reputation being the same type that Mark Phelps was. For him to not get an interview makes to me that whole search. Jacques Aletti could turn out to be a great coach. I have nothing against him. To not give Otzelberger an interview if you're Drake in this scenario is laughable to me. It is absolutely laughable. Just interview the guy. Give him a shot. He's a salesman, you know? I mean, all these coaches are salesmen. Give him a shot. Let him in the door. To me, like, Drake completely missed the boat on something. Think of all the Iowa State fans that would have supported that program. I mean, they're not going to be big Drake fans, but they would have supported the program.
And TJ was great with the local media. He would have gotten people to go to those games. I think they missed it there. Which, and Jack, as you said, Jack Letty could be very good. But TJ will be a head coach. I would not be surprised if he ends up somewhere back in the Midwest at some point.
And Green Bay, and Milwaukee, probably somewhere even bigger than that if things go well, Washington.
So, and Iowa State fans will always have that relationship with him. But I agree with you. I think when push comes to shove, if Fred were to leave, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, He's got to be one of the guys you call, and this move only helps his cause.
Let me ask you this, because you're a connoisseur of the game of basketball. It's one thing I love about having Bloom on our shows and whatnot. A lot of Iowa State fans today are probably asking themselves, why is Washington? It's not Duke. You know, it's not Kansas.
Sure.
It's Washington. I ask you that, Brent, because we've read the quotes. We've read everything. We've heard TJ on the radio today. In your opinion, why is that not a lateral move but a positive move for his career?
Well, I think just geographically, he's been, if you go through TJ's career, he grew up in Wisconsin, and he has ties to Wisconsin. He then went from Wisconsin to Southern California, where he coached AAU basketball as one of the head guys for the pump program.
Mm-hmm.
From there, he went to the Southeast at Florida, at Chipola, which is the northern part of Florida. So he's got the Southeast covered.
It's Mike Taylor country
right
down there.
And the one area he doesn't have that he hasn't been to, and of course he went to Iowa State for 7 years, is the Northwest. And Washington is a sleeping giant because there's a lot of talent in that Seattle area. And they also pull many guys from L.A., mm-hmm. where TJ has recruited well. That's where he got Brackens from.
Correct.
Was from the Southern California area. And Lorenzo Romar is considered a bright basketball coach and a guy who a lot of people have learned from. A different personality than Fred. And you brought up a great point on KXNO today, where TJ's only basketball influences really have been, in the D1 level, have been Greg McDermott and Fred Hoiberg. That's a limited selection of coaches where, mm-hmm. and you compare it to Fred, who had all these influence. He got coached by Johnny Orr, Tim Floyd, and all those NBA guys, which mm-hmm. I think it was a brilliant point by you, one of the few you make, but it was
a good
one.
It doesn't happen very often.
It was a good one. But you just need to expand, and Washington is a sleeping giant because they've got a bunch of recruits up there. They're going to be probably a top 25 ranked team next year, and if they make a Sweet 16 and Elite Eight run next season, you become a really hot commodity after you just let Iowa State to two NCAA tournaments.
Well, nonetheless, we can wrap up everything about TJ here. People want to hear about Iowa State going forward, but we wish him nothing but the best. He's always been great to us. I remember when TJ got hired. I mean, we were students at the time. I mean, talk about a guy who, when we were running CycloneNation.com, it's pretty easy for those guys to just not give you the time of day, but he was really welcoming. And I'll say this, too. You compared him to Herman, mm-hmm. another guy who I got to know fairly well over the last 5 years or so. I don't know if I've ever met a more just a motivated individual in my life than Otzelberger. Herman definitely
yep.
in the same realm. I mean, TJ, he's only 35.
That's crazy.
There's not many 30. I mean, what, Pastner? I'm thinking of Josh Pastner, 35 and under head coaches.
Pitino.
Richard Pitino.
Who's?
But his
thank
name's,
you, Pops.
His name's Pitino. That's like Dale Earnhardt Jr. getting a ride at a young age. Sorry, I worked the NASCAR plug-in. For real, though, there are not many of them. And here's a guy who he's an associate head coach in the Big 12, and he's constantly trying to get that one step closer. And I respect that. I do. And I think that if you're an Iowa State fan today and you're bummed out about this, that's fine. But I also think you have to go, you know what? You did a lot for us, and thank you, best of luck, and hopefully we see you again sometime.
I think it's the only attitude to have, and ultimately it's great for the program if he becomes a head coach someday.
Yeah, because don't you want your assistants
There's
to
no
be
no
recruited
question.
By other coaches? If Iowa State was in the CBI the last 2 years, Otzelberger wouldn't be at Washington right now, I guarantee you that.
And I'm comforted by the fact that Fred is still there.
Correct.
He's still really a basketball savant in a lot of fashions. And the program with what they have coming back and what the Big 12 has coming back, I think will be just fine. And if you can get an X and O guy like a Doc Sadler, it actually could even help.
As I say, who knows? It could be an improvement. And the last point, yeah, no, that's. I think that is the point. Sorry, my mind's going a million miles a minute today, Bloom.
Well,
going wild, but that's a good point though about Sadler to wrap. He doesn't have the job yet. I want to refresh you. We don't know that for sure, but he is the clubhouse leader, and I think he's got about a 5-stroke lead, and everybody else is on the 16th.
As long as he doesn't pull a John Vandeveld, I think he's in good shape. Who's the old? If you did NASCAR, I got to do golf.
Yeah.
Vandeveld hit it in the burn in the 99 British Open, ended up losing a 4-shot lead.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that. Oh, I know what the point was. I was going to. You're talking about feeling good as long as Hoiberg's here. Spoke with 2014 point guard commit Clayton Custer today. Otzelberger really his primary recruiter. A same scenario. TJ got it in the door, according to Custer. I talked to him today, and then it was Hoiberg who swept in, and he told me that he's still committed to Iowa State for 2014. I think the direct quote was, I committed to Coach Hoiberg and Iowa State. He was upset that Coach Otzelberger was leaving, obviously, but so there's that. And I also want to give Travis Hines, I saw from the Ames Tribune, he caught up with Matt Thomas, the Wisconsin product, the highly touted, who I think he's already signed with Iowa State, and he has all intentions on being a Cyclone. So that's good news on that front. The numbers, though, today, I wanted to touch on all the current events that happened today, this contract. To me, when I read the $2 million buyout for a college, $500,000 buyout for an NBA team, which is absolute chump change. That's like us going and spending $3 at the driving range for an NBA team. That's absolutely nothing. That doesn't surprise me, though. After this whole Minnesota thing, I think that I thought before the Minnesota thing that maybe there was a spot where Fred had his eye on. Maybe he'd love to replace Roy Williams someday in North Carolina. Maybe that's still the case. I don't know. But it sure seems, just as you put it earlier, putting the pieces to the puzzle together. If he's leaving, it's going to be for the association.
And you couldn't blame him for that if it eventually comes to that, because that's the highest part of basketball. Fred's an NBA guy. You've worked as a assistant GM for a number of years with Minnesota, spent 10 years in the league. And let's face it, the NBA pays really freaking well. I mean, those guys are making, you think the college coaches are paid well.
They don't get the years, but they get more money up front.
Exorbitant amount of money.
In Fred's deal this year, I need to take a close look at the contract, but I assume it's back heavy. That's how they do it at Iowa State.
Yeah, I think that's what I think his first year this year is 1.6, and eventually goes to over 2.
You know, he very well, at the beginning of the season, maybe the last paid coach in the Big 12.
Yeah, he'll still be more than...
Who?
Well, I guess Tech just hired somebody. I don't know what Tubby's.
Tubby making. Has the exact same years and money deal. I don't know how back heavy his deal is. I don't know how that's set up.
It's a little bit more than Trent Johnson at TCU.
Trent Johnson just got a pretty big raise, Brent. See, his second year, he gets paid more. Drew's getting paid more next year, and that's always tricky to find that because of the whole private school thing. Bruce Weber gets a stupid raise from year one to year two. I actually think he may be, if not last, he's going to be ninth.
Well, it's an arms race, and it's not a contract, I think, that will stay the same.
No.
They're going to keep having to amend it. And that's
Paul Rhodes goes 7-5 this year, same thing.
It's just the way of the world, and that's, you have to stay competitive with everybody else, but you're never going to be competitive with the NBA unless you're Kentucky, and Iowa State's not. But those guys are making $6 to $8 million a year. And even Phil, when Phil was with the Lakers, was making up to $15 million a year.
Who's this Phil guy you're talking about?
Some guy with a bunch of rings. Who's
no, but coached. But I did some research around the whole Minnesota thing. Isn't like an average contract for a rookie head coach in the NBA about $3 million per? $2-3 million per?
I think it's more than that now.
Is it more now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
was thinking it was like $2 million over 3 years.
No,
it's 3 year deals, though, right?
Usually 3 year deals. Yeah. But it's if you get less than 5, you need a new agent.
And here's the thing about the NBA, too. It's kind of they recycle coaches so much. But the thing is, Fred's already in their exclusive club. And that's why he keeps getting brought up, really.
No,
right? I mean, you know a lot more about the league than I do.
No, it is the same. It's the same guys, and they recycle them over and over, rarely anymore.
Where the hell is Rick Carlisle nowadays? Yeah, he seems like he's always somewhere else.
He's in Dallas. He's still holding on there, for at least for another year. But they either hire old assistants who have been kicking around for a while. They hire rejects. I mean, Kelvin Sampson's going to actually get a head job. He's done a great job.
Where's he going?
He might take the Milwaukee job. which is
why not Otzelberger?
Yeah, but they never almost anymore hire college coaches. I think the last college coach to go to the NBA. Gosh, I'll have to think about that. It's been a long time.
Was it Pitino?
Calipari
made a run.
Calipari did. I mean, Pitino did it. Lon Kruger did it.
Yeah, it's my boy Lon. I forgot about Lon.
And there's a couple. The Cavaliers had hired Izzo. He backed out. The Magic, actually, when I was down there, hired. Or it was the year before, hired Billy Donovan, and Donovan backed out. And that's when they hired Stan Van Gundy.
All these guys back out.
They're backing out now. I mean, and Floyd is up there. I mean,
pulling Dana Altman.
It just, nobody, college coaches really have not had much success going from college to the NBA. But Fred's a different story
because he's
been in the NBA, and he's run around in those circles. So if there is a college coach to go to the NBA, there's maybe two names. Calipari and Hoiberg, I think, are your top two in college.
And the reason you say Calipari, too, isn't it because, like, the LeBrons of the world, they're obsessed with this guy.
Love him.
Yeah.
And he's got a reputation.
If Spoelstra, if they don't win the title this year, get rid of Spoelstra and bring Calipari, that'd be a perfect scenario, wouldn't it be? If Calipari's going to make a move?
If they don't win the title, Spoelstra will get another year, but I would not be surprised somewhere down the line. If LeBron handpicks Calipari to be his head coach.
Just holds somebody hostage and says, hire him and I'm there.
And now if they keep winning, that won't happen.
That won't be in Chicago because Tom Thibodeau, Brent, has proven over the last 2 weeks that he is not only the best coach in the National Basketball Association, but it's a landslide. Coached in circles around Eric Spoelstra on Monday night. Circles,
that
Brent.
Was fun to watch.
Wasn't it phenomenal? I mean, the talent level on the floor between – it's not even in the same – hemisphere, for crying out loud. That was, to me, and I'm a Bulls fan, obviously, and I'm not going to try and hide it, but to me, one of the more enjoyable sporting events I've watched in quite some time.
Well, it felt, rarely in the NBA do you feel like a significant underdog is doing something out of this world. That game felt uneven, but they just hung around. Chris, they won with Nate Robinson as their go-to player.
Yeah. The slam dunk guy.
Who absolutely did not play at all for the Thunder last year. And somehow he ends up with the Bulls as like a
he was like
add-on.
Third string to start the season.
And he's now playing a significant role in the playoffs. It's fascinating to watch. Thibodeau is an amazing defensive mind. And he gets those guys to play unbelievably hard.
Dude.
And I could watch Joakim Noah. I know he's kind of a squirrel. But I could watch him play for days.
Joakim Noah, when he was drafted, I remember because I remember watching that draft. I was over, my guys Becker and Bond and all those guys over on Atlanta Avenue back in the day. And my boy Becker, he's a big Bulls fan, right? And we always chatted about the Bulls and broke it down. And I was so mad when they took Noah because he's just obnoxious. And he's one of those guys who you hate until he's on your team. And then you absolutely fall in love with the way he plays the game, the way he approaches it. I sent out a tweet. I think it was like game one or game two when I said, children, play the game like this guy. He's an absolute pleasure in a league that oftentimes gets a bad rap because people think, oh, those guys aren't even trying. Well, these people saying this obviously don't watch the NBA playoffs. But in a league that is, by the casual folk, known for that, I mean, he is just a breath of fresh air. I love Joakim Noah, man. I cannot get enough of that guy.
What if he had Dwight Howard's physical ability?
Be one of the greatest of all time.
Just stupid. Although maybe. Dwight gets a bad rap.
Rightfully so.
But hold on. Before his back injury.
Brent, he's an arrogant ass.
I know. I'm not saying he's not an ass. And because he is.
And he's obviously arrogant.
He's also like a 8-year-old ass because he's not grown up. But he when he was with the Magic, he played extremely hard and he did have great effort. Now I don't know what happened to him. Something's gotten to his head.
He hates Kobe.
The back injury doesn't help, but to take it back to Noah, just a joy to watch him. If he didn't look like a woman, I think he'd be more enjoyable.
He does look like a woman. This is a very accurate statement. I want to tease something that's coming up on the site before we wrap this up. I interviewed Bill Finnelly today. Went in and did a little sit down. See, I'm going to do this over the next couple of months. I did it with Abdul Massey last week. I'm going to try and sit down with these guys and gals, and I want to get more. I want people to get to know them as people more than just coaches and players. You know, to get where I'm going,
I like it.
I've got this vision. We'll see if I can capitalize on the vision, but it's certainly there. I want to tease this interview that I did with Finoway. I found it fascinating. We were talking about the year that he couldn't talk.
Right.
And my question to Bill was basically, you know, did you, now that you look back at that experience, what did you learn from it? What did you take from it to make yourself a better basketball coach? And he essentially revealed to me that after that season, he about quit. And it wasn't anything to do with Iowa State. It wasn't anything to do with his health. He just had, I mean, that season wore him down so much. He about quit. He about resigned. And then he goes into how this year's team rejuvenated him in his career. Now, I mean, he's bouncing around. He's bouncing off the walls there in the Sioux Cup. But it is a fascinating interview. I really want to encourage people to read this when I get it up here later in the week. But, I mean, you know Finley way better than I do, traveling with him in the Cyclone Radio Network. Boy, I came away with a newfound – I've always appreciated him. I've always referred to him as the cornerstone of this athletic department. But I, because he's been here since, you know, way 90, before
95.
Yeah,
coach the year in the Big Eight.
That's how long he's been here. And I just have so much even more appreciation for Bill Finley after today.
He is two things: the most competitive person I've ever met in any walk of life.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, one of the most engaging people I've ever met.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting combination you almost never find.
Yeah.
Because usually you find your competitive people are often a-holes.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And he's not. And he is, you've seen him work the crowd. There may not be somebody better. I mean, he could seriously probably run for the open Senate seat in Iowa and he might win.
Yeah.
If he wanted to do
that. If all the constituents actually sat down and met him, it would be a landslide.
Because there's just not better person, I think, and there's a lot of good people in Ames, but to balance those two, it doesn't surprise me, the whole he didn't want to come back, because they made the NCAA tournament. This was 2011-2012.
Started 0-5.
After going 0-5, yeah. And he couldn't talk. Just a miserable set of circumstances. He still grinded out to the tournament.
To me, he called that, this is what I found fascinating, he called it his worst coaching job ever. And to me, I remember after that year on our show on Thursday night saying, this is his best coaching job ever when you factor in all the scenario. And the Big 12 was brutal that year. And actually, I thought it got a little bit easier this past season. I mean, that's the thing about it. I mean, this guy just talked. It's amazing, these ultra-competitive guys, like you're talking about, the immense amount of pressure they put on themselves.
On themselves, more than anybody.
Is something that you and I cannot comprehend.
No, and that's the reason why, I mean, we're probably in Des Moines doing what we do, because it just takes an obscene amount of self motivation to get to where somebody like Bill Finley is. Just, I've never seen somebody grind as hard as he does. He'll be on the plane just scouting left and right. I mean, he doesn't take time off. He's constantly doing something. And you know, that may be more the norm in college now than it used to be, but to do what he does, and he's pushing 60 years old.
Yeah,
it's fascinating that he can still go at such a high energy level and dealing with what he's had to deal with in the past. I have nothing but immense amount of respect for Bill Finley, and Iowa State's lucky to have him.
And Steve and his son just got named as assistant at Cal State Fullerton. Billy, obviously, on the Iowa State staff. It's why I think they're going to be great coaches too in their own rights. Because, I mean, when you grow up and you see Dad do it a certain way, for instance, my dad, around the house, he always did the laundry. So, like, no, for real, this is.
I see where you're going.
And to this day, I do the laundry here in our house. My wife doesn't do I do the laundry because I saw my dad do it. It seems normal to me. If you had a dad who, you know, is yelling at mom, telling her to get in the kitchen and do the women's things, you're more likely to do that.
Sure.
These guys saw Dad coming home from 2 a.m. at work, like you said, grinding, and that. You can already see it. I know Billy very well. He comes on our radio show on Thursday nights. Gotten to know Steven over the last couple of years. You probably know Steven a little bit better than I do, but you can already see that these guys have adopted that. And talking about next head coach, I mean, to me, it's is a very easy scenario if it works out that way. You move Billy Finnelly into that role. It's a very seamless transition.
And I don't know how many years Bill wants to coach. I think it's up to him. He can
6 years, I think, is to fulfill his contract, right, is what he told me
today. And I wouldn't be surprised if he goes past that. I don't know. I don't know what he wants to do.
Could you imagine Bill just being like, well, I'm going to go out to the golf course today and play 30? No
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
I mean, I know he likes to golf, but he just is, to me, seems like one of those guys. He's a lifer, man.
There's gym rats and players. He's the gym rat as a coach. I don't think that guy feels comfortable anywhere else but a Cardinals game or in the gym.
I think you're right. All right, Bloma, we should probably wrap her up. We're about 40 minutes. You got anything else? Anything else you need to add to the conversation today?
It's just good to be back in the Cyclone Fanatic home office.
Should we try and do this more often?
I'm telling you, CF Radio or your daily podcast, got to get that going.
Yeah, we need to. I have some technical issues with that.
That's okay.
Then I'm going to have you help me on eventually. But I need to get that going. We need to get a sponsor mainly because, I mean, I'm not real interested in tacking on an extra 5 hours to my week if I'm not going to make any more money off of it. I'm just being honest with you.
I don't blame you.
I'm a transparent guy, okay?
No, that's good.
If you need a very creative way to reach your to reach thousands of Cyclone fans, you should email me. chris.m.will@gmail.com.
I think that needs to happen today. I wanted to give a note of thanks to the guys who posted on the Cyclone Fanatic message boards their pickup game.
Did you
see that?
No, I haven't seen it. It's been kind of a busy day.
Fitzy, well, I think they posted it yesterday, but Fitzy and the fellas.
Fitzy, he's an animal.
They post.
Fitzy comes into the game chats and just takes them over.
They played a pickup game at the rec in Ames.
Yeah.
With all those members. And then they posted it.
They posted
the highlights on the message board.
This is awesome.
The one guy, I don't know who it was, so somebody can help me out in the thread here, hit a jump shot to win game one. I think they posted a couple games.
This is incredible.
And maybe the best form I've seen in Ames, other than Tyrus McGee, in decades.
Since you were playing down there at the rec.
Just silky jump shot. So that provided me a good, solid 15 minutes of entertainment yesterday. And I thank them for that.
So you're requesting more highlights.
I enjoyed it. Cyclone Rules got in there. I saw him mix it up.
Yeah, Rules with the triple Z
whatever. Yeah, he had his jersey on. So that was really cool. Like, I seriously was entertained for 15 minutes, and it takes a while for me to get entertained.
Hey, speaking of highlights, we got the Cap City League coming up here in, well, it's probably a month or two.
That one guy might be able to play in it. The guy at the game-winning jumper.
You got the jumper? Yeah. What about Fitzy?
Fitzy's a banger.
Give me your scouting report on Fitzy.
Fitzy or Rules?
Either one. Or both.
I didn't see who Fitzy was. Fitzy might have been the one who hit the jumper.
Was Fitzy the guy just controlling the camera and that's it?
I don't know. I don't know who's controlling the camera. Whoever did a nice job. But Rules game, he's like a Kenny Pratt was in the 90s. Set a lot of good hard screens.
That's good.
You need that. You need rebound of the ball, play a little defense, so... He's got that grinder, that glue game.
Good for him.
Yeah.
We're going to do really in-depth coverage of the Capital City League this year. Heartland finishes.
It's a big year for that.
Kim Pullen, yeah. Well, that's what I figured. I like doing things at Fanatic that you can't find anywhere else, and there's really no presence consistently at the Capital City League. I think a lot of people are interested in this Matt Thomas kid, a little Monte Morris. So we're going to have our team. I'm going to ask you to be a part of it, too, write up a few scouting reports on what you see. You're good at that. But we'll get some highlights, some video highlights of the Matt Thomases of the world. The draft, Derek, who runs the league, tells
Derek,
me it's going to be
a good dude, too.
Yeah, good guy. Yeah. It's going to be on June 6th.
That's going to be here before you know it. That league has provided a nice little window into the future of Iowa State.
Yeah, it has.
If you look at through the years... I remember the first year I went was the Mike Taylor, Wesley Johnson years, and we saw them in the summer league going, whoa, these guys are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think much of Wes when he committed. Then I saw him had like a 3 straight alley-oops. I'm going, yeah, he's going to play. He's going to play a lot. And you go through the years, Royce White dominated in his weird way that Royce was accustomed to, where I think this first game he had like 15 rebounds, 14 assists.
Yeah, he like didn't even take a shot.
Didn't want to shoot.
Third period.
But then Melvin Edgem was good right away. George Niang last year dominated.
Yep.
And you said at the time, I'll give you credit, he's a starting Big 12 player right now. I didn't know it at first.
Yeah, you lit me up for that comment.
Because I just didn't know if he could come in, but he displayed exactly what he did in the Cap City League, transitioned perfectly to the Big 12.
Now,
so we're going to find out if Morris and Thomas can play. I also want to see what Tron Dorsey Walker looks like.
Now, you also, though, let's be fair here, the Tavon Sledges of the world dropped like 50 in a game.
But that was a paper tiger in a way because he was just getting layups. It's different.
Yeah, and he also, people don't realize, had like 13 turnovers in that game as well.
You could tell Royce was so athletically dominant that he was going to be great.
Yep.
Niang was so crafty, and the jump shot is what impressed you and impressed me, that if you can shoot, you can shoot.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it tells us others, like Eric McKnight, I think we all walked away from that going, probably not
same
much
story
in the future in the Big 12. There's stories like that as well.
I thought same with Corey McIntosh to put a bow on this. Okoro looked a little bit out of sorts down there. So you can find out who's good and also who needs a significant amount of development. So it's going to be big this year. How many new guys? Six? Five? Six?
Six.
They're going to be Iowa State players all over the place.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions. It's going to be a fun summer. Brent, how's the golf game before we wrap it up? He's swinging the ball well? Swinging the club?
Coming into shape. Short game is awful right now.
It's all right.
I had a rough day yesterday on the greens, but I hit seven greens, three putted five of them. Not going to cut it.
That's tough.
But, you know, we're trying to get into shape and hopefully perhaps see some Fanatics at your outing.
Yeah, that's coming up May 17th. A little cold water. Great course up there in Ames. He's Brent Bloom. I'm Chris Williams. Thanks for listening to this installment of the Channel Seed podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. We appreciate it very much. So long, everybody, and as always, go Cyclones.